I think they like you, Steve.
Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
Senator Durbin's coming in later. We'll tell you about that in just a second. Hi, 612, and this is show number 1166. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, 312-981-7200, texters. Do we have a text question already? Did we talk about this, Justin?
We did.
What is it?
Part two.
We were going to continue yesterday's first.
Oh.
And then the one
but
you brought
Mary,
up yesterday.
Yeah, wasn't Mary done?
I already said we'd probably continue.
All right, we can save mine for tomorrow.
Is yours timely?
No, it's not time.
Okay, then hold it.
Okay.
How do you start a fight at your house? What's the one thing that absolutely starts a fight at your house? John, you didn't chime in yesterday. John DeCosta, you weren't here yesterday. What's the one thing? Justin Kaufman, I have one very similar one, and that is never, ever, 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 ever say to your wife, relax.
Relax.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or calm down.
Calm down.
Or chill.
Chill.
Yeah. That's the new one.
That's a variation. That's all in the same. It's in the same family.
They're all deadly.
I would say also go to hell is not.
Oh, go to hell, George.
That's in their same family.
Don't yell that and scream.
I would think the fight's already underway if you're at go to hell level.
I'm just saying, don't go there.
Pat has said to me, I don't think you realize the tone of your voice sometimes. I realize the tone.
Well, that seems like the fight stopper.
Yeah.
No, it usually doesn't end well after that. So
at 6:14, Chevy Silverado, we'd like to give it to you, and we'll give you 4 tickets to the Blackhawks convention as well. We'll update all that at 7:20. The actual truck won't be given away today, but we're getting closer. U.S. Open picks today. Are you a golf fan?
I am. Who doesn't love golf?
That's a no.
Okay, don't be sarcastic. Listen, you want to survive. Don't be sarcastic.
No, sarcasm is a weapon, Steve.
Sarcasm about everything but golf.
Oh, I see. Golf, you had no sarcasm in golf.
No.
I'm learning the rules.
Golf is sarcasm free.
Light clapping and no sarcasm.
That was me.
He didn't answer the question, Steve.
No, I think he did, actually.
I think he
answered it.
He probably means to say that he loves foot golf.
Yeah.
Later today, we will be engaging in foot golf. Where are we doing this?
Somewhere in Edgebrook.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a foot golf course.
I looked it up yesterday. It's soccer, but cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's why I wore sporty clothes. Everyone was asking me what they should wear.
I saw the video with Kevin Bacon.
Did you notice how different my outfit is today?
It looks very similar
to
your
always
regular
ready
outfit.
To break out in anything with the word golf in it. So, it's team building is what it is. We'll be team building. How excited is Pete about this?
Huh? Oh, yeah. He'll be sweating.
He'll be sweating
and burnt because the sun is finds him.
Ready. We'll do our U.S. Open picks later, which is why I was talking about that. Michael Auslan. Yes, we will. Get ready. Michael Auslan is on the road. His book, The End of the Asian Century, qualifies him first and foremost as an expert on that region, and obviously lots to talk about there. Sox tickets later. Elise Glink later. We missed Ro Khan's birthday. We'll try to make that right later. All that coming up.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one in the top 6 at 6, a way to get you educated, get you a little cheat sheet, tip sheet for the day. Senator Dick Durbin will be on the show after 7 this morning, and among the things we'll talk about is the CPS scandal recently in the news, the investigative reporting by the Tribune and others. related to sexual assault at CPS schools. Tammy Duckworth and Durbin sent letters to U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos and Illinois School Superintendent Tony Smith about their alarm and asking for more data collection at federal and state levels and demanding accountability and transparency to prevent that from ever happening again. All seems logical. Again, more from Durbin on that later. And Block Club... let's try that again from the top.
Yeah.
In 3, 2, 1. Block Club Chicago goes live today. Former members of DNA Info have a new neighborhood services site that they're doing. You know anything about
this?
Yeah,
of course. They put a Kickstarter together thinking they were going to make $20,000 or something like that. They raised $183,000 and maybe more at this point. The goal, of course, to bring back the vibe of DNA Info to do neighborhood local coverage for the city of Chicago. So a huge, huge win for those journalists, and they launched today.
Well, that's
good. And for the city.
Yeah,
and we're getting the news back.
It's amazing to think that they shuttered DNA Info like that, and we lost so much coverage of local things that were happening.
They did a nice job. And are they going with like local stringers? Because $180,000 isn't going to pay much.
No, they are. They have a core. Seamus Toomey, Jen Sabella, and Stephanie Lule were senior editors at DNA Info. They're running shop, and they've got a core of freelancers around them that are helping out covering their neighborhoods. A lot of them from DNA Info.
I'm going to go live to Sandberg now for an update on what's happening at Channel 7. Is it soap opera E?
No, it is. Cheryl Burton is going to replace Kathy Brock as the anchor.
Krzyzewski and Burton?
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah, so she'll do the Channel 7's 10 p.m. newscast?
Yes, she will.
When is Kathy Brock done? Is it the end of this month?
If not, it's in July. It's soon.
Did you approach her about coming on?
I did not approach her yet, but I wanted to tell you, when I heard the Cheryl Burton news, I thought yesterday, I was like, oh, I love her. And so then I looked her up, because that's what I do, and I went to her Wikipedia page. And Wikipedia is funny because people can add things or, you know, take things away. Some people have more information than others.
We had a guy that worked here. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to edit your own page. We had a guy that worked here that edited his own page. Was it 200 times? It was a crazy number. I think it was 200 times.
Well, okay, that seems obsessive. So. But this is interesting. A little excerpt from her Wikipedia page that I found very funny. And I like to think that the other person named in this is the person that added this to her Wikipedia page. From 1986 until 1995, Burton was married to ABC 7 sports reporter Jim Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Rose, who had been dating Burton when she was a Chicago Bears cheerleader, surprised her with a diamond engagement ring on the Friday night before the Super Bowl in New Orleans. Rose popped the question aboard the President Riverboat scene of the Pepperelli party for the Bears. Burton, who had finished a dance number with the Honey Bears, was sitting with Rose under the moonlight when he reached into his pocket for the ring. Rose, quite the romantic, had timed the proposal to come the year after the couple's first date. That coincidentally happened to be the Super Bowl party in Chicago.
And it was all Cheryl's fault.
So
that we
Jim,
didn't stay together.
Jim Rose.
Jim Rose had to write that he's a romantic and that he had a diamond ring. That's a lot of detail.
That's a lot of detail.
For something that, you know, if stuff happens now,
maybe he recounted it in an article and someone pulled it, but you're absolutely right. That's a lot of detail. And
I want Jim Rose to deny it publicly that he didn't update her Wikipedia page.
And then if you recall, I saw Jim Rose in a dog fashion show that my sister walked in last fall, and Jim Rose's dog peed on the runway.
Is that in his Wikipedia?
I don't know.
The dog can't put anything in Wikipedia. It's very sad. The paws keeps hitting several keys at a time.
I saw Jim Rose at a mall once. He had a giant fur coat on and a Western hat, and he was upset that people recognized him.
Well, I like Cheryl Burton. I think this is, remember that whole thing when they split? There was a lot of drama about it, whether it was Kathy or Cheryl, and Cheryl, they moved into a weird national spotlight role for the last decade.
They're pals, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think they are, and she's a great reporter. So,
did you guys know Cheryl and I were both Alinettes together?
No.
You told me that story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you like Cheryl back then, or do you want to go meow on this?
No, I like Cheryl. She got picked up in a limo, and when she was trying out for the Bears or something senior year, and she would get whisked away to Chicago. Then she'd come back for a couple games. We were like, what's going on?
That was when she was dating Jim Rose?
Yeah.
Because he was so romantic.
No, I think she was dating one of the players, as a matter of fact, at the time.
Yeah. Was that before senior the NFL year. Rule that you can't date the players?
Well, this would have been college, right?
This was college. At University
I'm going to go
Illinois.
Ahead and make that entry in her Wikipedia.
Oh, she was
page.
Dating one of the Illini.
Yes. Dating, okay. Yes.
Mary, you're a super Wikipedia user, so let's get
we
you.
We stood next together in our line, though. We were the same height, so we were together.
Mm-hmm. And you're just as cute, Mary.
Not really. She got to go in the front when we had to switch. Stagger the lines. Honest to God. It was like stagger the lines. I still hold that, you know, I still have that grudge. It's like, oh, put Cheryl in the front. Thanks a lot.
You know what is fascinating to me? The amount of specificity a woman can pull from things that happen in the
I don't
past.
Remember that.
Especially when you're angry.
I'd remember that. I'd remember that if I was
I'll have to talk to Cheryl about that
staggered.
Sometime.
Yeah, if there was totally. A celebrity in front of you and you had to be staggered,
oh,
I would
sure.
remember that.
I don't remember yesterday. Next. AT&T's $85.5 billion takeover of Time Warner can proceed despite the government's efforts to block the deal. AT&T may soon control a mammoth portfolio, including CNN, HBO, Warner Brothers, and a whole bunch else. Everything on the planet is related to controlling content that ends up on your phone. Everything.
And they say they're Everything. Not going to choke the internet. You know, that with net neutrality, that's the idea that AT&T mm-hmm. can now essentially give a privilege to one website over the other. They say they won't do it because they're afraid, well, if we do it, then someone else will do it to our content. They say they won't do it, but it sounds like they own everything.
And this ruling means now everybody can buy everything.
Yeah.
Basically. So expect more big deals coming probably as soon as today.
The deal underscores how news and entertainment companies are trying to compete with Amazon, Netflix, YouTube, and the same. Next. We talked about this a few minutes ago. The World Cup, Dave, is coming where?
It is coming to the United States and to Canada and Mexico in 8 years, 2026.
Is this because this is the best shot we have to qualify after blowing it this year?
Well, it will get the United States into the tournament.
Automatic
and
berth.
Those two other countries, they will be part of it automatically. But you have 8 years, too, to get back to where you want the program to be with the men's national team. But it's a big for international soccer enthusiasts. This is a huge deal, and the fact is there will be
I like the World Cup.
60 Yeah, I mean I remember when it was here in 94 and everybody mm-hmm. got into it, and 60 matches in the United States, not in Chicago, by the way.
Everybody
not
got into
in
it Chicago. But the homeless. Remember, that was the big story at that point was that they put the homeless in jail.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
They enjoyed the World Cup.
That was all PV, pre-Vuvuzela.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, no, that was the year, because I remember being at Soldier Field, and there were Vuvuzelas, and everyone was...
Then?
First, yeah.
I thought the Vuvuzela didn't start until like 8 years ago.
I thought they had them back then. Maybe I'm mistaken.
You sure? Maybe some of the players were being squeezed and they were crying out in pain?
It. Yeah, that might have been it.
And that's one of the side effects of Lyme disease?
And one more. CNN's Barbara Starr, one of the best reporters in the business, by far, told the network, the Department of Defense at the moment isn't sure what orders they're under. That's in regards to the joint military exercise cancellation or continuance in South Korea. You may remember that President Trump said that it was going to end because he thought it was too forceful and it was
provocative. Is the word he used?
That's the word. In quotes from Barbara Starr, she is quoting a source at the Pentagon. Here at the Pentagon, what they're telling us is. We'll be in line as soon as they figure out what exactly he's talking about. Now, again, I want you to hear this quote because he's referring to the president. He, if that's a he in the quote. Here at the Pentagon, what they're telling us is we'll get in line as soon as they figure out exactly what he's talking about. Quote continues, he gave very broad language, so let's step back a minute. There are in a steady state about 28,000 U.S. troops in South Korea. They're there solely for the defense of South Korea, and the training exercises, the president calls them war games, are for the defense of South Korea, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. So this is a high-ranking source at the Pentagon who chose to be anonymous, who is saying it's not over yet.
Well, once specific orders come down, I mean, the president's the commander-in-chief. Last thing we need is the Army, Navy, and the armed forces to say, no. I mean, that's his job. He's in charge, right? We don't need any friction between the military and the president.
Well, you'll remember, though, that a year ago or so, the president said that transgender troops were no longer welcome.
And they said,
and Mattis shut it down.
There's also a new tweet from the president this morning about North Korea. He says, just landed, long trip. Everybody can feel safer now than the day I took office. There's no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea.
Really?
Meeting with Kim Jong-un was interesting and very positive experience.
One thing that needs to be answered by the president is this. If Iran is the worst deal in history, what is this deal? Because we got more in the Iran deal than we got in this one so far. He's got a chance to change that. It's 6:30. We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti's on the radio every Sunday night here on 720 WGN. She'll join us in just a second. Where is Miss Conti? Is Karen Conti with us? Where is she? 312-981-7200. That's the number for you texters to kick in as well. The text question, and I'll ask Karen this as well. Text question of the day is, what starts a fight in your house? 269. Rolling out the wrestling mat and getting naked. Starts a fight every time. What's going on at your house?
What is that?
And then some mom submissions. 312, do not talk about her mother. Do not. And the 815, a couple things you should never say. You didn't ask, but yeah, those pants do make your butt look fat.
Who says that?
Or, wow, you really are like your mother.
That one has been said.
That's
or it's been
good.
Thought.
That's,
I don't know if it's ever been said, but it's been thought.
That's not good. That's not healthy.
Not by me.
Karen Conti joins us now. Karen, what starts a fight in your house?
What starts a fight? Yeah. Cleaning issues, maybe.
Cleaning issues, as in you're doing it and Jerry's not?
Sort of like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or vice versa.
You and I have been friends a long time. I would never argue with you. There's just no win. There's no win.
Yeah.
That's why you're so brilliant, Steve.
Yes, there you go. See? All right, several things to click off here. Let's start with the Supreme Court, which you know better than most folks. This voter rolls ruling, what's the deal here?
It's interesting. You know, the Supreme Court said that a state can remove you from the voter rolls if you haven't voted in a certain number of elections. And, you know, this is a slippery slope. I think that voting is obviously one of the most crucial things that to our democracy. And when you take those rights away, I think that's a bad thing. Obviously, you don't want voter fraud and you want to keep people on the rolls who are current. But this is a slippery slope. You know, what if you haven't voted in two or three elections, does that mean you lose your right to vote? And this really impacts usually more the poor people and the minorities because they're a little bit more transient in where they live. So, for instance, they didn't give a notification that they were moving. They may not be getting these mailings and the like. So this is of concern to me. I don't know that it's going to be something that happens immediately, but I think we're going to see more of this litigation.
This ruling felt like it had some similarities to the ruling we discussed that week in that it was fairly narrow because we were talking about one state in particular, but it is a Supreme Court. So does this force every state to take this up?
Well, right. And there are some rules in different states that do the same thing that Ohio did. Ohio's was very aggressive. So I think they're going to test the law. I think other states are going to try to implement these. These generally benefit the Republicans because the idea is that there are more people who are minorities and poor who are Democrats. So this supposedly is going to favor the Republicans. So we're going to see laws coming out that are more aggressive, and they'll be tested again by the courts.
There's a shield law that protects journalist sources that's been on the books for a long time. There's a ruling again that came down this week, and the Department of Justice in particular is hammering one journalist and one news organization. What threat to journalists exists now that didn't exist before last week?
Well, journalists have always been able to publish leaks, and that's not really that goes back a long way past the Pentagon Papers. And, you know, those were papers that were illegally obtained and leaked, but the press had a right to publish them. And that's generally the way the law goes. This is a Department of Justice edict that says that they can basically go in and subpoena records from journalists and to determine who is leaking the documents. So there's two things here. The leakers are obviously able to be prosecuted. That's espionage. That's leaking things that are private. Obviously, that's something that needs to be prosecuted. But to get to those people, the government is now thinking or intending to go and subpoena those records from journalists, which is troublesome because that is going to be revealing their sources.
Here's the thing that I think is important to stop down in for a second so folks understand this, because when we have discussions about publishing leaks and anonymous sources, it's very easy for the general public just to go to the place that the journalists are evil. and they're haphazard, and they don't care, and they're sloppy. Since this country began, leaks is how that's how news is reported. And news is reported not after it happens, but sometimes before the bad guys get to do what they want. That was the whole point of leaving King George and the idea of our founding fathers, to make sure that we had an active and vigilant Fifth Estate, Sixth Estate, and Seventh Estate, depending on the internet, to make sure they were keeping an eye on those in power. So if we start saying that we have to be complicit in finding out who the leakers are, this is the government's problem. If the government wants to shut down leakers, they need to do a better job of shutting down leakers. But there's a difference between leakers and whistleblowers. And whistleblowers are the people that are reporting that the government's doing something that's not in the public interest. So leak has become a filthy word, when in fact it's an important part of reporting the news of the day.
I totally agree with you. And again, I think the operative thing is the government needs to make sure that the people working for it are not leaking, and that they have good reputations, and that they are not going to do something that is going to endanger our country. That's going to be espionage. And people have been prosecuted, as we know, for years on these types of things. But to focus on the media is the wrong focus, in my view.
You would not have Watergate. You would not have been able to force Richard Nixon to resign. You would not have known any. I always go back to this example because I think it's the important one for the far right to understand. You wouldn't know about Hillary Clinton's email shenanigans. You wouldn't know about her private server if not for the fact that an anonymous source reported it to the Washington Post and the New York Times.
Now, what about Edward Snowden? I mean, the idea that even in the Obama administration, leakers helped us understand what was happening with spying and the NSA looking at our cell phones and things of that nature. That,
and
that
by the way, I'm glad you brought up Obama, because Obama cracked down on journalists hard. And
he did. And
Obama was leading the way before Trump ever got involved in this. The government doesn't get to say there's freedom of the press as long as it doesn't hurt us. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
No, and in Germany, that was the first thing that folded. And, you know, we can't have that happen. And again, these are all, I always call them slippery slopes, because you might say, okay, I can accept this edict, but what's the next step? And when does the government stop punishing journalists for publishing things that are not popular? That's a bad thing.
I got one more for you. I had no idea you were so rich.
Uh-oh.
I saw a story this week that entry-level attorneys at one particularly famous firm are making $190,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an industry-wide figure? I had no idea that kids who pass the bar could walk in and make that kind of money.
There are a few select law firms in New York and California that will pay associates starting salaries of $190,000. That's crazy. They want to get the elite law schools and the people who excel at those elite law schools into their firm for bragging rights, or because they work really hard. The people that do well in law school are A, bright, really bright, and B, really hard workers. And those are the people you want as worker bees in your big firm, where you have your big clients, where you're charging huge fees. But for the average law firm, the average person coming out of law school, not even close. That's not even a close figure.
What is it? 75, 80 grand, 60 grand, 50 grand?
In a medium-sized firm, that would be probably appropriate. In Chicago, less, in a smaller town, certainly. But again, these aren't the people who are going to be the great lawyers in the world, in my view, because it takes more than just brains and hard work. I mean, you have to have personal skills, you have to have speaking skills, you have to have compassion. If you want to get business, you've got to have a personality and go out there and knock on doors. And these people are going to be fabulous lawyers, but they're worker bees. And maybe they'll go off and do better things afterwards, but those first two or three years in a law firm are horrendous. I mean, you're working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, because they have you. For $190,000, they have you.
But the stereotypical view, the movie or TV show view of a clerk sitting in a big conference room with oak tables reading through, you know, volumes and volumes of law books looking for legal precedents, that must have changed, right? I mean, now there's got to be a legal equivalent of a Google search that saves you hours.
That's true. true, but it's still very time-consuming, and you're still working on briefs, and you're still editing, and you're still, you know, doing your factual research. I mean, there's the law has gotten easier in some regards, but it's also gotten more difficult because of the easy access to this information. So you have more information and more reading that you have to do. It's easier to get, but you still have to put in the time.
847 texter says, Steve, the general public is not stupid. We understand the dangers the current administration presents to the free press. Give people credit. You're not the only person who understands the issues.
No, technically, Steve is the only person.
If you felt I was talking down to you, I apologize. That wasn't the intent. And there are people that don't understand the difference between leak and whistleblower. And that's not because I'm smarter than you or more in touch with the issues. It's because that's the job.
I like my King George news before 7 o'clock.
Exactly. But I thank you for listening, all of you, even those that...
I think that people, the fascinating part of the law is where two different rights collide, you know, like the right to freedom of religion and the right to not be discriminated against in the cake baking case. People get all very excited about that because... On one hand, yes, you have this right, but people have another right. And when they collide, it's confusing because who wins? And I think this is a case that you're talking about, and you were giving your opinion, obviously, that you think that leaks might be a good thing, and it's essential to a democratic government. But again, I think people get very upset when they hear about those types of collisions in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Donald Trump has done a very good job of making the word leak a new form of profanity. It's not. It's necessary and needed in this society, in any society that professes to be a democracy.
Yep. I agree.
Is that your legal opinion? Yep. Stop talking down to me.
$190,000 a year? Yep.
All right. Sunday night on the radio?
Sunday night from 7 to 9.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
All right. Have a good day.
That's Karen Conti. We got some more of you guys talking about what starts a fight at your house, part two. We started this yesterday, 312-981-7200. We have the oldest original security guard from the Tribune Tower who will be on with us today. Imagine the things that this guy's seen. Huh? These walls could talk.
So he's been here the whole time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. 150 years. Okay, maybe not the entire time, but a long time.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Tomorrow, the debut of the Trump outrage meter. Should we really be outraged about everything? If everything's outrageous, nothing's outrageous. The Trump outrage meter, soon to be called the Tom. We'll tell you about that tomorrow on the a new show when we do a regular politics thing. Who's the big guest? Who's our big guest this week on politics?
John DeCoste.
We got Brady and Adelstein and DeCoste. Really? That's it? I don't know.
Yeah, and I can't make it.
Kelly Cassidy is going to be on tomorrow talking about the Me Too stuff in Springfield, which is obviously a big topic, and what Mike Madigan's role is in it. Or out of it, as he would prefer. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. The texts continue to come in. What starts a fight in your house? Oh, here you go. Taking a last Kleenex out of the box and not replacing it. You know, was it my job? Is it my job? How about you've used the toilet paper up completely, and you leave the empty roll on the spindle?
That seems to be a variation off of the toilet paper.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
My problem is it's not taking the last tissue and not replacing the box of Kleenex, but it's leaving the empty box there, just not realizing it's empty. And okay, I can hear Sandberg through the glass,
not realizing.
Sometimes there's that one that's stuck on the bottom of the box.
What? But it sounds like you're counting on that one being the one that you're dealing with.
Even if there's one left, you should get the next box there and put the last little clean Kleenex on top of the new box. So there's an endless system.
Mary, that sounds like a lot of work.
We don't wait for the paper towel roll to be empty. When you're starting to get down to the end, I put the new paper towel on it, and then I put the one that's getting low next to it. So
yeah, Dave.
I don't have an issue with paper towels. I always bring up an extra roll of paper towels from the basement, so I have the next one ready.
Okay. Just
typical man. What?
Kleenex box. I know, because when I've commented about my husband taking the Diet Coke box out of the refrigerator in the basement and then setting it next to the refrigerator as opposed to putting it in the trash can, which is 1 foot over.
But that's your recycle? What's going on in your house?
We do, but that trash can goes to the recycle. Ah, but it's in the. This is the basement beverage setup down there.
Oh, the basement beverage setup, yes.
And I've asked.
The BBS.
Were you saving that box or something? That's what I asked.
And that
I
starts a fight. Yeah. Well, right there, what you just said.
Why didn't you throw it away? I mean, that starts a fight for
me.
But
I guess the question is, does the actual action start the fight, or does the
comment after?
Comment, the sarcastic comment after the fight.
Well, for me, when I see that box, I'm ready to go. So I'd say that's that. Because I never.
How about milk, where it's like this little dribble in the bottom of the curtain?
Yeah, no, that's...
That drives me crazy.
Get rid of the milk?
Drink it. Come on, pour it out. Let's
go. Right, you couldn't fit that last splash in
Move
somewhere.
Move along. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as if throwing things away is actual tons of effort.
Oh, it's so much work.
I have an issue. My issue, and I will get at this, is that everything has to be on a time schedule. Like, for instance, last night, didn't clean up the kitchen right away after dinner.
Well, we talked about this yesterday.
I got the sarcastic question. Are you going to clean up the kitchen? Yeah. Maybe not right now, but yeah.
Yeah, why?
That's my job. There's never one moment where the kitchen is not cleaned up by the end of the night. I will get there on my own time.
I can't
my
relax.
Own man.
It's an agenda question. It's an agenda question, and your agenda is more important than our agenda.
Well,
and by the way, you're speaking for all women.
People
now.
Women want to relax.
I can't relax.
Why can't you relax?
I know the kitchen.
If the kitchen's a mess, and you know we've had an ant situation, so I don't want like the food sitting out there on the plates, and get it put away and just go watch TV.
But again, that's your rules.
I don't have rules. I have to, you know.
No, that's a rule. That's your rule.
No,
yes,
my
rule.
Inside rule.
The guy you're married to is also a grown-up.
She said it's her inside rule. We have a lot going on inside of us.
And inside.
I make breakfast for the family every weekend on Saturdays and Sundays. Aww. It's like it's very nice.
Over.
It's like a Four Seasons. And before I even cater to different likes and things. Catherine doesn't eat eggs. I make a Big Daddy waffle, which is
I hope
awesome
you charge
French
them through
toast
the roof
thing.
For this $39.95 a plate.
I do, but before anyone comes out, I've already cleaned everything up. So when I'm serving the food, the only thing is the food and the plates they're using. And
it's about consideration. It's about consideration. If it bothers you that much, then I should be considerate enough to do it your way. But demanding that the other adult in your house does it your way, I don't know.
Would I be instigating if I said, that sounds like a you problem?
Yes. Yes.
Don't say that. Mm-hmm. You can't say that.
Okay. I'll mark that down.
Yeah, mark that down.
Yeah, so you're saying that's not an us problem. That's a you problem.
Yeah, that sounds like a you problem.
And when you say that starts fighting.
That's another one. Deal with it.
Yes. Nitroglycerin.
You can't say deal with it.
Yeah. A10, whenever the in-laws come over, guaranteed fight. 224, tell your husband since you don't ride, you hardly anymore. I don't know what that means. I got it.
Tell
your husband, since you don't ride your Harley anymore, sell it.
Yeah, right.
That's like saying the 12,000 golf clubs I have in my garage aren't important. Come on.
I'm a purger, so I'm with that person. Get rid of it if you're not using it.
773, dirty clothes all over. Well, there's a place for the dirty clothes. Put them in a hamper.
The chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Chair.
Chair. Some of the floor.
And 312, one of the many things when my ex-village idiot would state, I never knew what I was talking about.
Yeah,
that's why he's the ex-village idiot. Apologies to the other village idiots.
If you say to anybody, you're looking for a fight, if you say, you don't know what you're talking about, who says that? That right off the bat, if you say it.
I say it all the time. That's why the texters jump in. It's 702.
King George monologue.
We're coming back in just a moment. We have Blackhawks tickets for the convention. I want you to get free tickets to the convention coming up at about 20. News next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm having a disc jockey flashback, but who is this?
Kansas, right?
Kansas?
Isn't it Kansas? No, not Kansas. Is it Kansas? Carry On My Wayward Son?
That's right.
I was never a Kansas fan. Senator Durbin standing by. Let's go there now. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I think it's Temptations. I'm completely lost.
Now you're in my neighborhood. That's exactly right. It's the Temps or it's nothing. All right. I want to get to the CPS story, but obviously I got to start with North Korea first. What is your level of concern about what happened and what didn't happen in North Korea?
What a week. the president goes to war with Justin Trudeau and embraces Kim Jong-un, mm-hmm. we've decided Canada is our big problem and North Korea is just fine. We can live with them. Let's get down to the bottom line here. On North Korea, a nuclear threat to the U.S., diplomacy is always better than confrontation. Number two, for the president to tweet this morning that this is behind us now, we don't have to worry about the nuclear threat in North Korea, is to ignore the obvious. Kim Jong-un has done nothing at this point to give us that assurance. And we need, as Ronald Reagan used to say, to trust but verify, and particularly when it comes to North Korea. Let's not be crazy about some photo op here and decide that the world's at peace. There's a lot more hard work to be done, and a lot of our allies are wondering where we're going to be.
Well, it appears that those in the Pentagon are wondering as well. Barbara Starr at CNN reported this morning that a high-ranking source at the Pentagon said, we'll let you know what we're going to do about the, in quotes, war games as soon as the president tells us what he's talking about.
Well, South Korea asked the same thing. What did you just promise, Mr. President? You know, this happens to be our neighborhood, and the military cooperation, 28,000 American servicemen and women in South Korea, over 100,000 civilians there. You know, we'd like to know what you promised in there and the impact it'll have on our safety. It's not an unreasonable question, and I think the president went off with kind of a quick conclusion that this case is behind us. Let's move to another one. There's a lot more hard work that needs to be done after the photo op.
As Commander-in-Chief, how much authority does the Senate in particular and Congress in general have to stem the tide of this to make sure it's on the right path?
Well, I think we're going to ask all the questions, but the president does have the authority through the Secretary of Defense to make certain decisions. When it comes to funding them and approval by Congress, that's where we step in. Let me quickly add, General Mattis, who is a current Secretary of Defense, I voted for him. I believe in him. I trust the man. I think he is the grown up in the room. And so I defer to him on a lot of these things. At least I want to hear his point of view before we decide the future of war games, as he calls them, with South Korea.
This is clearly a win for Kim Jong-un back home. I don't know that I care that much about that. I mean, that's an interior thing with him. Do we know anything in particular about what sort of inner circle power problems he may have? Because he seems quite interested in cutting deals now that he wasn't interested in doing before.
I'll tell you what's interesting, Steve. Mike Pompeo, the new Secretary of State, sat down with me and he said his first secret meeting with Kim Jong-un, one of the big concerns was when and where the meeting would take place. Kim Jong-un never lets the North Korean people know he's leaving the country until after it's occurred and he's returned home. This was an exception, this Singapore meeting. So it tells me that he is not certain of his own status within his country if he's that worried. He went to Singapore, got back. I don't know what kind of publicity there was in North Korea, but he is not sure of his own continued leadership, and that's something we ought to keep in mind as we go forward.
I want to talk about the CPS story in just a second, but hang with me. I got to get a traffic in here. More of Senator Durbin in just a second.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Senator Durbin with us, and let's get to the CPS story. Justin Coffin, say hi to the senator.
Senator Durbin, thanks for joining us. Obviously, the story in the Chicago Tribune detailing Chicago Public Schools' failures to investigate and protect students from sexual abuse, a huge story. You and the junior senator, Senator Duckworth, have sent letters to the Department of Education. What was in those letters, and what do you expect to be done at the federal level?
What we're asking the Department of Education to do, and I might add that I think this series has been an eye-opener and stunning to hear the terrible incidents of sexual abuse of children in the Chicago public school system, and that's why Senator Duckworth and I have moved forward. Number one, we want to make sure that when there's a report of sexual abuse in children to the federal government, that they disaggregate or differentiate between abuse by fellow students and abuse by those who are in charge, administrators, coaches, teachers, whoever it may be. I think those are both sad, awful, terrible things, but there's a differentiation made by the Chicago Tribune where too many times somebody who is supposed to be the coach, supposed to be the person handling security was actually perpetrating the crime. So that's the distinction we ask for, number one, that the Office of Civil Rights and Department of Education do. Number two, the federal law requires the state of Illinois to collect information about the safety of schools. What we wrote to the superintendent of education in our state and said, under the federal law, can you make sure that you include these incidents of sexual abuse so that there is a clear reporting requirement there and that it's followed?
The situation was being addressed by Janice Jackson through the Office of Mayor Emanuel in regards to a couple of things you mentioned. Do you have any concerns with the mayor's office and how they've handled it so far?
No, I don't. And I'll tell you, it's terrible that it occurred, and there needs to be an investigation. I've been in communication with the mayor, and I've spoken directly to Janice Jackson, whom I respect very much. There is no doubt in my mind that she has focused on her responsibility for the safety and security of the students in the system. Some of the things reported obviously predate her responsibilities here, but she has told me personally, I don't doubt one second, she is committed to finding the root causes of these problems and eradicating them so that the students are safer. I cannot imagine, Steve, and I'm sure you can't either, if this were my child or grandchild and occurred, and they reported to the authorities it was occurring and it was ignored, how I would feel today. That's how these parents must feel in too many schools. Janice Jackson has given me her word. She's focused on making sure this is taken care of.
And CPS has just released a new website this week, as a matter of fact, cps.edu/protectingstudents, and specifically lays out what the city is doing in response to this. You know, it's the burden of leadership. It's a responsibility of leadership. This goes back to Mayor Daley. This goes back years and years and years. It didn't just start at the beginning of the Tribune thing, but it's got to end immediately. And the only way it ends immediately is everybody taking responsibility. So I invite you to take a look at that website if it's appropriate. I know we're out of time, but anything new with the Russian thing coming up in the next couple of days? Isn't it great, by the way, we've reached a point where I can call it the Russian thing?
Well, we expect Mueller's report, but we don't know when. You know, we currently have some 22 people who've been indicted, 6 who've pled guilty. I mean, he is moving forward in a professional way. He's playing by the rules. A prosecutor is not supposed to hold a daily press conference on what he's doing. Unfortunately, on the other side, his critics are having 5 press conferences a day and 16 tweets. But I want him, I trust him, and I want him to do a professional job. What he comes out with, I will stand by, whatever it may be.
That's just it. If he comes out and says that the president is innocent of all charges, then we all need to get behind that report, because Mueller's the guy and his team that have been doing it for a long time. So
we just
look forward to being released. Thank you for the time, Senator. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Have a good day. That's Senator Durbin. He and I were talking off the air for a moment with one of his staff members, Emily, who's terrific, by the way, about this building, because Senator Durbin has been here a few thousand times.
Yeah, right.
You know, over the years. And
I thought he was interested in the real estate, like he's getting a new condo.
Well,
on the 7th floor, he could have your old office.
There are members of Congress, I'm sure, that would be interested in taking the building condo for themselves, but he did not express that. But we did talk about possibly shooting a horror film here, because I went up on the 7th floor today, and it's got the temperature of like a castle, you know, like a castle that's been abandoned. And all that's left are like drawbridges and cobwebs. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, the elevator was 30 degrees warmer than the hallway.
It's crazy. Crazy. We hope to survive through Friday, our final day here, before we move to the new facility.
Woe is us, huh? Everybody in the WGN staff that's still in the Trib Tower is crammed into the lobby corner of this building, and I love it. I should have been this way the whole time.
I went up there yesterday, and I saw Ben Cortez, the engineer, and I think he was the only one up there, and he said, Mary, how are you? I'm like, geez, Ben, have they let you out of this? haven't seen a person in months.
A little lonely up there.
I know.
It's just so odd. I mean, this building was just teeming with activity day after day after day. We're the only ones left.
Have you walked around on the 7th floor at all?
That's where we just went this morning.
Really, yeah. You did go up there.
And the only thing was up there was Wilson the volleyball.
And the chicken. And Carmen's chicken is up there
there's
still.
There's a chicken, a volleyball named Wilson, and Tom Hanks with a super long beard. That's
and Ben.
And Ben.
And Ben. Hello? Did someone say anything? What was that noise?
It's a brand new Chevy for you. That's right. It's time for you to win the Silverado. Hashtag Silverado spotting. That's what you need to do when you send us your pictures of Silverados you see on the road, as we put a big old gallery of that together. Go to WGNRadio.com/contest to win. The only way you win is to enter. I don't know why you'd put it off. Enter today so you could be one of the folks in line for a potential to grab the keys, take them away from Sandberg, and drive away in the Centennial Blue Limited Edition 2018 Chevy Silverado. Am I the only one on the show that's been in this thing?
I haven't been in, no.
I haven't been invited.
You guys got to get in. There's room for the
I was lives in the back.
I am in the back.
There is room for the entire show.
Can we use it today when we go golfing?
Oh, that's
whatever we're doing.
By the way, let's not go crazy. It's foot golfing.
Whatever.
It's a little blasphemy that you throw if you call it golfing.
We'll get in the back and we'll all pile in.
Yeah.
Everybody on this show could fit in the Chevy Silverado.
It's really nice.
Why don't we start doing live reports, do this segment from the Silverado, one of us every morning.
Now you're talking. You can't go in the parking lot.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, we can't get there.
It's a little odd when you come to work in the morning and they go, oh, park over there and don't look at anyone. All right, now walk over here and shake hands with this guy and leave him $20 and maybe we'll let you upstairs. At 729, I have, just for your tuning in and for the goodness of you to be around so you can hear, why didn't I enter for the Silverado yet? I have a little payment for you. I got four tickets to the Blackhawks convention.
Yes.
11th. Can you believe this? 11th Blackhawks convention already. It's crazy. 11th annual Blackhawks convention, Hilton, Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms before they're gone online at chicagoblackhawks.com. I can't believe there's any left. Is it like one room? Two rooms?
Maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't wait on that.
Well, we know what it's like there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And it's fun.
Fun.
Hockey in the summer, baby. Are we doing our thing again this year where we do our big Friday night kickoff?
I think so, yeah.
The Chicago Blackhawks Convention. Let's go with caller 7. You're a big winner now at 312-981-7200. And headlines next? All right, we'll do that on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The creepy music is for one reason, and that is we're now just days away from leaving the Tribune Tower. You know, I walked around this morning. There are these historical quotes etched in the marble walls of the Tribune building. Benjamin Franklin, his brother Bob Franklin.
Right.
There's a famous historical quotes, Colonel McCormick. And I walked around taking some pictures of those. Just because, you know, starting to get a little melancholy about the whole thing. Even though they're still going to be here because they're not tearing the lobby down. Now, Dave, you're not melancholy at all about this.
I am not melancholy. And I've worked here since 1986.
I mean,
great memories in this place. I love the building. I love seeing the building on the outside. But I'm okay going to a new place.
Oh, no, I'm fine going to the new place.
But
no,
I mean,
it's not about that. This is just one of the great architectural buildings in America, not just in Chicago.
It is.
And the idea that it's being torn down for offices and condos.
It's not being torn down.
Yeah, it is. The only thing left are the two lobbies.
Yeah, but they're just gutting it from the inside. It's still going to be the same. And what do you care what they do with it once you're gone?
Because I care about the city.
No, you care about the city?
Yes.
But you can buy a condo there, then.
I do. I care about the city.
Yeah, buy the condo, and then we can hang out. We can all crash here.
We can still come by.
I don't like your chances based on your attitude, pal. Everybody but Justin's invited to my new Tribune condo.
Great. Yeah, you got to buy one. That would be awesome.
All right, so...
come on, Steve. Get in the bid. Get a bid in. I'll get you a real estate agent. We'll get you a condo.
How do you know? I haven't already picked one up.
You and Chance the Rapper, right?
Maybe I'm creating some sort of demand.
McCormick's old office. You can have that condo.
You're trying to flip it already?
Yeah, that's right. I got the Property Brothers coming over to do a little touch-up. Were you ever in McCormick's office?
I have been, yeah.
It's
great.
Unbelievable.
It's
or I should say, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. I have a great picture.
Remember we had a meeting up there?
Yeah, do you remember the picture of me at the end of the conference room table?
Yes.
The largest conference room table in history.
It was a big table.
And we're all ignoring you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's a lot like regular meetings that we have about the show.
Kind of.
Yeah. We have the oldest living security guard that worked at Tribune Tower. We'll get to him in just a second. But first, we have breaking news.
Yes,
breaking
we do.
News. Shut this down. Shut this down, Super Joe. Shut the music off. This is breaking news from Minnesota. What
breaking
do we know?
Breaking news. Thanks,
Steve. Wait, are you in Raccoon Central?
I'm here in Raccoon Central.
Give people the background first.
Okay, so there was a raccoon that climbed a building in Minnesota.
Okay.
That's it, right?
All right, that's not a lot of background.
That's all the facts you need right there. Maybe not as much of the color, but I gave you all the facts.
A raccoon scaled a high-rise building, risking its little raccoon life. And where is the raccoon now?
According to Tim Nelson from Minnesota Public Radio and a law firm at the top of the UBS building, UBS building management has told them that the raccoon has been trapped. Dun, dun, dun! Now, I don't know if that means trapped and removed or trapped in the corner with guns on it. I mean, the trapped is a weird word to use here.
It sounds like a setup for a joke. How do you trap a raccoon?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Hey.
Right? What do you do? How do you trap a raccoon?
I'm assuming that they just put random garbage on the roof.
Right?
And
yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna rip through this garbage. Gotcha.
By the way, you don't know this, Super Joe.
Yeah,
Super Joe Romano.
He loves raccoons.
No.
Oh, he hates them.
His greatest fear in life is being attacked by raccoons.
Yeah, and I took this job with the understanding that we would never talk about raccoons. And here we are talking about raccoons.
No Raccoon Central.
I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
Not only are we talking about him, I have a friend who's on the radio in Minneapolis. Well, I'm going to try to reach this guy and see if he can give us a local raccoon update.
Right. Well, the story is that the raccoon has been trapped. Now, again, that could mean a lot of things. That could be cornered in the way that there are.
I don't like your imagery of guns focused on the raccoon.
I feel like there's a SWAT team and they're propelling down the side of the building and they've got machine guns on this raccoon and they've got him trapped.
I can tell you right now, they're nasty little creatures. Yeah. But having said that,
and it is Minnesota, they know those creatures pretty well, so they know not to underestimate the raccoon.
Well, speaking of Minnesota, we don't know how big this thing is. I mean, you couldn't really tell on the internets,
right?
You know, to scale, what is it? 12 feet long? 13 feet long?
It could be. It wasn't a skunk. I mean, would we be paying this much attention to it if it was a skunk?
Hmm. Oh, I think anytime you have an animal scale up the side of a high rise, you're going to get people paying attention.
If it were a skunk, it'd be a tear gas situation. They'd be throwing tear gas and
right
double
now.
The SWAT team.
Devin Nunez from California says the investigation of the raccoon is unfair and needs to stop immediately. All right, so the security guard, I understand, is locked in, standing by. I've reached out to my old friend in Minneapolis in Minnesota Radio and see if he's available to give us a live raccoon update. I would imagine the Twin Cities are on the edge of their collective seats.
The BBC just put out this article 20 minutes ago. Raccoon hailed a hero after Minnesota skyscraper climb. So this is the BBC playing to their audiences worldwide. Hailed a hero.
What has the raccoon done that's heroic?
The raccoon survives.
It climbed 23 stories.
It climbed 23 stories over what? A 24, 36-hour period?
But do we need to discuss the definition of hero? Did he save other raccoons in the process?
He may have. Missing that part.
Yeah. Was it a fundraiser where each floor that he climbed, he raised more money for a raccoon charity?
Yeah, we climbed, Pete and I here, climbed 180 stories.
Right.
He did bring joy to people's lives for a 24-hour period, so I mean that can be heroic, right?
Some people's lives.
Yes. Raccoons are rarely joyous. Yes. Yes. But anyway, we want an update, so we'll see if we can get there. Let me go to the phone here and talk to this gentleman. The oldest living the longest serving security guard at the Tribune Tower. Good morning, sir. Hello.
What's going on there?
Hello.
Good morning.
Is this Alfred?
Who are you?
Is this Edwin?
No.
Wait. Let me guess. Mortimer. No. Mortimer. Is this Mortimer?
No.
Seymour.
No.
Emmett.
No.
Emmett. You're Emmett.
No.
Amos.
No.
Chester. You got to be Chester.
No.
What about
no.
Gus?
No.
You sound like a Gus to me.
No.
Ralph?
None of those guys are here.
What about Ralph? Are you Ralph?
This is Clarky O'Cliburn.
All right, Clark, nice to meet you. And you are the oldest security guard
Why did you need all those peoples?
Well, I was trying to figure out what your name was. I thought we'd have a fun time together.
Who is this?
This is Steve Cochran, and you're on the radio at 720 WGN here in the Tribune Tower.
I've been in the security guard here since 1925.
Right, and that's why we wanted to talk to you. I can't imagine the things you've seen.
Well, I don't see as much as I used to.
Right, no, I understand that. Do you have any memories of Wally Phillips?
Wally, Mr. Phillips, was a great guy. He would come down, and I'd let him in. He always brought me a cup of milk.
Because you like milk?
No, I can't stand it. I'm I can't drink it.
What about Bob Collins? What are your Bob Collins memories?
Bobby was so much fun with me. He was a great guy. He didn't bring me nothing.
Okay, all right. I didn't know that was the currency. Yeah. Mike Royko from the Chicago Tribune, what about that?
Mike Royko he'd let me read those articles before he'd try them out into the papers.
You were Mike Royko's proofreader?
He'd say, is this spelled correctly? And I go, I don't know.
See, very early form of spell check.
Hey, Clark, it's Justin. I forgot my key card again.
No, this is Clarky O'Clyburn. Justin ain't here.
You no, saved it. I know. I don't have my swipe card. I left it at home. Can you let me in one last time?
I wish I could, but you know the rules. Since 1925, you got to use a two-digit number, put it in, and then dial 685.
How possibly could we have cracked that code? What about Kathy and Judy? Do you have any Kathy and Judy memories?
I'll tell you, they were two of the hottest women I've ever seen in my life. Between the two of them and Theda Bara, I'll tell you right now.
I had heard a rumor that you were romantically linked to Judy at one point.
Oh, Lord, that's it. Part of that's true. Not the whole thing, though.
right.
Part of that's true. Right. I didn't know which one I was dating.
Right. Well, how could you? Do you have any specific memories of the building you'd like to share?
Well, I started 1925. I was 4 years old.
Okay. All right.
My dad came out of W1. We was poor. Mm-hmm. I worked right away. Mm-hmm. William Deaver dedicated the building. And I remember the first day of the dedication, my father put me up on his shoulders so I could see everything. I was only four, and that was the first day I had to actually make an arrest.
Okay. Well, what a sweet story. What a sweet, sweet story to tell.
It was my dad. He was pickpocketing.
I understand. Now, back in those days, we had some of the great gangsters of all time roaming the streets of Chicago. Did you know Al Capone?
Mr. Capone came in many times. He loved the Ritz Brothers. He thought they was the funniest guys ever. He'd come in to see the Ritz Brothers, but he had a thing going on with Patsy Kelly.
I have no idea who these people are. Do you know who these people are, Justin?
No.
Okay.
They were favorites of mine when I was a kid.
Oh, they were favorites of yours as well? Okay.
Al Capone was shot and killed here by Bert Lahr.
I don't think that's true. I also don't think more than four people understand that joke. Now,
it's
I'm
a good
also,
name, though. It's a good Bert Lahr.
I'm also curious if you knew Colonel McCormick before he passed.
I did. He wasn't a colonel when I knew him. He was just a staff sergeant.
Okay, so eventually was promoted. I understand.
Yeah, well, I knew him a long time ago, but he's a great guy. And I told him, make those spices.
No, he did. Okay, sure.
He took my advice.
All right, so what do you think about us moving out of the building and the building being transitioned the way it's going to happen here?
Well, thank God. I'm just tired.
Right, you've had enough.
I'm in my late 90s. I got to go home.
All right, that's fine.
I expected, I was hoping they'd give me something, you know, because I'm leaving, like, you know, maybe part of the pyramid or stuff that's in the walls,
sure.
Great Wall of China.
Sure.
But the only thing I got was Tribune papers for the week. I don't get it on Sunday, but I get the papers for the week.
So that's your going away present.
I was like, thank you so much, because I can't really read no more, but I'll do it.
Sure, of course you will. Well, listen, I want to thank you for all the work you've done here. You're a fine, fine individual, and you're a tribute to the Tribune Company.
Well, you're very kind. Unfortunately, you're under arrest.
I am?
Yeah,
I did not see that coming. All right, well, listen, Clark, nice to talk to you.
Same to you, whatever you are.
Okay, that's Clark. He's a very old man. 98 now. Security guard here at the tower. Best of luck to you, Clark. Don't want to talk too loud. He's probably already back to sleep.
Isn't there a retirement age for security guards?
It's 99. Ugh. Yeah, he's just under it. It's just past 8 o'clock. We're back with the news in a moment. Then Dean Richards as we continue. Michael Auslan on the Korean Peninsula, one of the world's great experts on it. And U.S. Open picks still to come. That's just in the next hour on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me.
Welcome to the soon-to-be award-winning Moron Entertainment, brand new Smile Dental Implant Center.
I hear we're up for a Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah, it's a Phil Pulitzer. It's a lesser Pulitzer, but it's still a Pulitzer.
Yeah, it's spelled P-E-L.
Actually, the P in Phil is silent.
It's Pulitzer.
Pulitzer.
It's a different, it's different pronunciation.
Hey, before we get started here, we never decided on this off the air, but Dean and I were discussing something post-show today, and I didn't ask him to join us for the post-show team-building activity.
Gasp!
Is that today?
That's today.
It's good team building to leave a team member out.
Well, but here's why. Because Dean is a show business mogul.
Yeah, he wouldn't have gone anyway.
He's very important, and he's a friend. And I didn't want to ask him to join us because, you know, he's a friend.
Plus, we're going to see a movie. He does that all the time.
No. How about that as a team building activity? We're going to a movie. No, we're going to play foot golf.
What is that? Golf with your foot, obviously.
Pretty much, yeah. It's they take garbage can size holes and they cut them into the ground, and then you kick the ball to these garbage can size holes, and the lowest number of strokes over the course of a round wins.
Normal size golf course?
Don't know the answer to that.
I don't know why you keep look at me like I have any idea.
No, I just turn my head. You
don't
have to wear
shoes.
That would seem exhausting.
I think I have a leg up on everybody because I played soccer in high school.
You also have a leg.
This is true. Dean might not be able to participate anyway after that hamstring injury that he got.
Oh, we're all around. You know,
8 years ago,
with my bad knees, there's a decent chance the first kick I make, my leg will fly off and just helicopter into the sky.
I think there's a greater chance John's leg might fly.
Yeah. Yours actually could surgically detach.
It could just pop
recently
off.
Healed.
When we played miniature golf, I'm sorry, Dave. I got yelled at for playing ahead too quickly because people were slow.
Well,
and
that was ridiculous.
I didn't yell at you. I said, "Why would you walk a mile and a half ahead of the rest of us?"
It was
Marcus?
Like a race. That was crazy. It was hot. And it's
and
after
no
the show.
Well, if you paint that, I yelled at you. Okay. I've never yelled at you.
Everyone
in your
gave
life.
Me a hard time for playing ahead.
We all did.
Yeah,
hearing all this, why wouldn't I want to join?
Yes, right. By the way, another team building event next week. We're going to Jewel for Me. I'm giving everybody a list, and you're picking stuff up for me.
Nice, like supermarket spree.
That'll be great.
Game show.
Wait till we have to pick team captains. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm unable to join you for this, unfortunately.
I know you're working on a story.
I'm working on a story that I need you for
right
at the end of the show today.
Oh.
Yeah, we can't say exactly what it is, but it's a murder. Pete Davidson, Ariana Grande, Donald Glover, Eddie Vedder, Joy Behar, and Ravinia, all in the news, along with Samuel L. Jackson. All of that coming up.
Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
Back to Moron Entertainment. I don't think I ever introduced the band today. Justin's here, Dave's here, Sandberg's here, John DeCoss, Mary Vandeveld. Occasionally someone in news will wander by a microphone over at 303 East Wacker. And Super Joe Romano.
Excited about the big move?
I think we talked about this off the air. I have never, in 35 plus years, I have never had new studios.
Really?
Literally never. Of all the places I've worked and been thrown out of, I've never had new studios before.
Brand new ones.
Brand new. Got that new studio smell.
Yeah, and you'll be the first one
to defoul it.
To defoul on Monday morning.
Yeah. No, it's going to be great. I'm very, very much looking forward to it. And we have two studios that mirror each other on opposite sides of the building. One with your back to Lake Michigan, and one with your back to the city and the skyline. So you have river views. And city views or lake views.
He doesn't mean Riverview Amusement Park.
No.
That was the big amusement park when I was a kid.
Yeah, they closed that, I hear.
Yes, he did.
Pete Davidson, Ariana Grande, couple or not?
Yes, still a couple, and details have been disclosed about the cost of the engagement ring that Pete gave to Ariana.
I know about what he makes at Saturday Night Live, and it's not enough to spend a lot of money.
He apparently spent $93,000.
That is a lot of money for
on
a guy.
An engagement ring. Steve, it's a 3-carat teardrop. Shaped diamond with a very high clarity rating, surrounded by a halo of smaller diamonds set on a diamond platinum band.
All right, Sandberg, let me ask you a question about this.
Yes.
If you are a woman of means, mm-hmm. Ariana Grande, mm-hmm. and you fall in love with your Pete Davidson, and Pete doesn't have the kind of money you have, he wants to get you a ring that you'll be impressed with and that you'll love. Is it the thought that counts, or do you want something that...
He's got money, though. Maybe not Grande money, but he's got money.
Close, dude.
Yeah, no, maybe not close. Although.
I think that when you're 24, you're so in love, and let's 3-carat beautiful teardrop with a halo setting and a diamond band. Yeah, that's not okay. Like a.
Plus
that's
not
like he gave her a chip. So I think she's probably happy with it. And then when she does the wedding bands, they'll probably
I give Maureen a chip.
Carats.
She still likes me.
And surround see.
Yeah, but potato chip doesn't count.
the diamond I gave her at one point, if you held it up where the sun would hit it just right, you might be able to see just a speckle of sunlight bouncing off it.
Didn't you see, Dean, though? He supposedly bought the ring a week after they started dating.
Yeah, he bought it quite a long time ago.
He also put tattoos on his head. I mean,
On his head?
Yeah, he's got one on his neck, and then he's got one on his hand. But, I mean, this is a courtship that defies logic and just practicality. This guy's going full in.
That's not good. The tattoos are not good.
Full in with it with a tattoo of not only his girlfriend's initials, but her symbol for her new record.
Yeah, her logo.
That'll get old, but yeah. Okay, all right.
What if it goes belly up and it's always a bad memory?
Yeah, I was going to say, but marketing wise, I'm not sure it's great because what if she wants to change her identity? She changes it up, does a new symbol. She's I got to redo this tattoo.
Totally get a new one. They'll get a new one then.
Yeah.
That's why I always feel bad. I got that unpronounceable print symbol on my forehead about 20 years ago. all right. Donald Glover, what's going on there?
He made a little surprise concert appearance.
I love the story.
At the Harold Washington Library the other day. He's pals with your best friend, Chance the Rapper.
Chance is a good dude.
Because Steve really hangs out with all the rappers.
Yeah, I'm street.
He's down with all the rappers.
Biatches.
But a special relationship with Chance. Chance has a special relationship with Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing...
You know his brother, right? Slightly more mature Gambino?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Slightly graying is mm-hmm. the second brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And balding Gambino is... The oldest. they did an open mic night for high school students. Chance did an open mic night at the library. And he said, our next guest needs no introduction. And for a change, when somebody says that, actually didn't introduce him. He walked off. And Donald Glover came out and awesome. He did his... His This Is America song for the crowd. They went,
cool as that.
Now, Domitee said yesterday, which is amazing, that's a very famous open mic that they do at the Harold Washington Library. They've been doing it for years. A lot of the Chicago rappers have come out of that open mic, so Chance coming back to it is special for him to bring those people in. But he mentioned that you need a high school ID to get in. Like, it's not something that just anybody can go to.
Steve.
Yeah, well, I got in because I'm a fellow rapper.
But I just think that's really special, and it shows why the Chicago rap scene and the hip-hop scene is a cut above other areas or other towns.
I'd agree.
Because of just looking at the video, there's video that Malcolm London put up and other people put up, that it just looks like, wow, I would love to be a junior in high school and get an opportunity to just watch Donald walk out on
the
stage.
Inspirational.
It's amazing.
And it was the open mic graduation, because this is a series of open mics that has to do with that social works of this a safe place for kids to do culturally things. Yeah, so it was a special evening.
Eddie Vedder is probably as big a Cubs fan as there is. What did Eddie Vedder do?
He is actually going to be doing, that's the bigger story, going to be giving away free copies of an old school kind of single that he's putting out on vinyl, 7-inch vinyl, that's going to be handed out to anybody who buys a ticket for the July 6th Cubs game against Cincinnati. Cincinnati. One side of it will be his song Someday We'll Go All the Way. Other side, Steve Goodman's classic Go Cubs Go that originated here on WGN Radio back in 1984.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh my goodness. Justin, go to WGNRadio.com and you can see the video of all the personalities here singing along to, including our own Steve Cochran, who does a little dance to it.
I shook it.
It's a great piece.
Dean is also featured.
Dave as well.
Did you shake your moneymaker?
A little bit.
Just okay. We are.
You know what? I'm gonna repost that right now for people. It's the greatest.
It's the We Are the World of Chicago local personality.
All right, quick quiz. Some of you may know, some of you may not. How old's Joy Behar?
Oh.
78.
So what? Who cares?
How old?
That's not bad. 73.
71. I wouldn't have guessed 70s.
In the ballpark, 75.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Ooh, darn, I went over.
75. I don't think she looks 75 years old.
No, I would not have guessed that. Now, she got in some sort of gangland knife fight in New York? Is that what happened?
Well, she was hospitalized, and this is... I'm going to try to dissect this a little bit because, I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to try to explain it all. She was cutting an avocado in half and accidentally stabbed herself in the palm of her hand.
Was it an accident or did the palm, say something she didn't like?
That's possible. She has reacted violently sometimes when confronted on The View. But she was.
Unlike Jimmy Fallon's cockamamie story about how he busted up his hand and almost lost his finger, and it happened like twice. This seems reasonable that Joy Behar stabbed herself.
Yeah, she's holding the avocado in her hand, and when you cut an avocado, you take the knife, you cut around the pit that's in the middle of it. And so she did that, no problem, separated the two halves, and then she was trying to get the pit out of the one half. And there's a super very easy way to do that.
Well, tell us there, Chef Dean.
Well, the way that you do that is you take a chef's knife. Really, you can use any kind of knife, but you take a chef's knife because you get good leverage on it and just sort of, put the sharp side of the blade down into the pit. Boom. You hit it one time into the pit, and you twist. And
you have to hit it with some force.
The pit comes right out. But apparently what she was doing was stabbing at the pit, missed the pit entirely, went through
her hand.
Meat of the avocado.
And the meat of her hand.
And into her hand. So she went to the emergency room. They wound up keeping her overnight and put her on an antibiotic IV because the doctors say this happens all the time with avocados and with bagels.
Cutting bagels, I was going to say.
People are slicing their hands all the time.
I go to Panera. Like when I get bagels from the store, I just go straight to Panera and I say, will you cut these up and put them back in a bag for me? And then I take them home.
Yeah, they put them in that fancy machine. It's like
zip, zip, zip.
She also said she was in a hurry because she was on her way to an event and she was trying to eat very quickly.
Ah, bad idea when you're 75.
Are the bagels I bring, are they cut or uncut? I don't even know.
Uncut.
They're uncut?
John has spent over $10,000 in bagels alone. That's just to help the show. And what about Samuel L. Jackson?
He spoke to us about, everyone's all fired up now about celebrities talking about politics since this Robert De Niro thing at the Tonys over the weekend. And do you have time for the audio real quick?
Tell us about it.
He just simply said, why am I not allowed to talk about politics? But any other person who is an American citizen can't talk about politics. It's not fair. He said everyone has the same avenues now with Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and everything. Everyone can express, and why should I be excluded just because I'm happen to be an actor?
Ravinia, 20% off every show tomorrow.
This is cool. I don't think they've ever done this before. They're having a 24-hour sale that'll start at midnight for June 14th. 20% off all lawn seats, all reserve seats. There are some restrictions on the reserve seats. And they are also waiving the handling fee tomorrow. So if you've been wanting to go to some Ravinia shows, and like the Tony Bennett show, there's still pavilion seats for Tony Bennett. There's still pavilion seats for some of the big shows that they've got throughout the summertime. You can purchase tickets 20% off and no service fee, but you have to order. You can only order and get this deal online at Ravinia.org.
I heard Alec Baldwin doing his Tony Bennett yesterday. So good.
It's so great.
So good. Thanks. See you in a while.
Enjoy your foot
golf,
whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. More on entertainment sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Thank you for that, Dr. Tim and company. We're back in a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We continue. I haven't checked texts in a while, so again, you texters, it's part two today of things that start a fight at my house. Look, I don't know Mark Maron well, but I'm easily distracted. And when I look up on the five television screens we have in here, and I think there's about 35 in the new place starting on Monday, I see Mark Maron doing a Good Morning America drive-by.
For Glow, for the show Glow, that's a great show.
Glow is a good show, but here's where I'm going. Everybody now has a podcast. Everybody. Your grandmother may have one. You might not even know. Some of them are worth listening to. Mark Maron became famous when his career was essentially over by doing a podcast early. I've heard it. I don't get it.
Well, he has access to a lot of comedians who will talk to him in real ways. And I think that that's what makes comedian podcasts work when if you're doing the interview format. So, you know,
I think
you're being generous. Yeah, but if you come on, if a comedian comes on with you and knows you, they know they're in morning drive. They know that they're promoting whatever concert they're doing. What he was doing, he get his buddies, Louis C.K. or Janine Garofalo or anyone down the line in New York to come in. And they have these moments that you could tell that they're forget the microphones are on. And I think that that's.
Well, that's what we do here.
Yeah, but we also have to break for traffic commercials and everything in between.
Well, I think Maron should add traffic to his podcast.
It's good.
I got no axe to grind with him. I don't know him. I was just stalling until Michael Auslan was ready. Michael Auslan standing by. We love Michael. Michael's book, The End of the Asian Century, out and available everywhere. And if you truly care about what's going on in the Asian Peninsula, you should read it. You should read it because it's great. It's accessible. And it's highly recommended. Michael is nice enough to join us again this morning. Yeah, the first guy I thought of after the meeting / photo op that went down this week, Michael, thanks for being here. And what's your take on what happened?
Anytime, Steve. Well, look, you know, so it was this bizarre mix of the absolutely unprecedented, you know, first of all, the two leaders of the countries meeting, the United States and North Korea, the symbolism of it, you know, the flag side by side. I was actually shocked at how comfortable both of them seemed with each other. I mean, you remember back in the days of the Cold War in the Soviet Union, and we'd sort of sit there stony-faced across the table from the Soviets. And
well, how about back in the days of February and March, you know, where they're going, you know, Little exactly. Kim, Rocket Man, and Dotard, and all the other things are being thrown around.
Exactly, and now it looked like these guys get together every Saturday for chips and beer. I mean, it was just they're patting each other on the back and they're taking the stroll and he's showing them the car. So, you know, the optics were, I think, stunning from people who expected that this would be a very, you know, antiseptic and cold meeting. But the substance of it was not anything really new. The document that they signed had nothing new in it, except, of course, that it had the signatures of the two. You know, that's what's different is, you know, for the first time, you have the two leaders now themselves directly committing to this. Now, whether that makes a difference or not, we don't know, but that's really what's different in terms of the document. What is really, really different, Steve, are the things that President Trump said during the press conference and after. And that includes halting or at least somehow moderating these military exercises we do with South Korea, the language that he used, which was really the North Korean language, calling them provocative, and then his own language calling them expensive. The putting, not on the table, but I would say at least putting into the room the idea that, well, we're going to talk about bringing U.S. troops back at some point in time. These were the things that were really different. And, you know, and the, everyone in D.C. is going to be debating, well, okay, now that you've said it, how does that work into this process? So it's the beginning, as I think most of us expected, of a very long process. But, you know, from the perspective that, well, this whole thing could have blown up or Trump could have just rushed in and done a grand deal. I think we probably got about the best that we were going to get out of it.
Well, that's encouraging to hear.
The military presence in Asia and in Korea and the peninsula has always been there. It's obviously important to our military strategy when it comes to China and other places. When the president is talking about withdrawing troops or removing or denuclearizing that peninsula, what's the takeaway there when it flies in the face and contrasts what we've been doing there for the last 70 plus years?
Right. So, well, obviously the big goal is denuclearization, and the end goal would be to bring the troops home. But we can only do that when North Korea is not a threat, when it's not a nuclear power, probably when it doesn't exist as North Korea, or at least the North Korea of today. Either there's some type of moderation in the government or reconciliation with the South. So the president's not wrong to say that, look, we want to get the troops back. The question is, if you bring it up now, does that mean it becomes a bargaining chip on the table? And I think that's what people are very anxious about, because you certainly don't want to say, well, if you do X, you know, then the quid pro quo is that we're going to pull the troops out, because you never can trust the North Koreans, at least up until now, to do this. So that I think is the big, really the big concern about where we might be going. The other thing you mentioned, by the way, I think is really important, is China. I mean, in a lot of ways, China is a big winner out of this. I wouldn't say the big winner. The biggest winner is Kim Jong-un. I mean, he's ended in North Korea's international isolation. He's shaken hands with the president. He's had this great photo op and great meeting with him. So he's by far the big winner. But China's a pretty big winner in this as well. I mean, they jumped right on these statements about, yeah, the U.S. should be stopping these exercises. That's something that both North Korea and China have wanted for a very long time. They're now demanding a seat at the negotiating table, saying, well, you know, we're going to be a good faith negotiator to help, you know, midwife this whole process through. You know, they see that there are now opportunities to begin slowly reducing the U.S. presence in Asia, whether or not that is realistic, you know, whether or not we decide, yeah, you were actually going to fundamentally change how we're positioned in Asia is a separate question. But the Chinese came out of this pretty well, and they're pretty confident.
I want to ask you about how this compares to the worst deal in the world, as the president's called the Iran deal, because it feels to me, and I'm looking forward to you correcting me if I'm wrong, that we would have to get an upgrade to get to the worst deal in the world based on what we now know. So can you hang with us for a second as we do a traffic update?
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Thank you. Michael Osland, more in a moment.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Michael Osland is with us, the end of the Asian century. Michael, how do we follow you on social media, by the way?
Twitter, Michael Osland, or you can go to the Hoover Institution, and you can find my webpage there. It'll have what I write and most of what I'm doing.
A-U-S-L-I-N.
Yes.
All right, Michael, the question I posed before the break is this one. The president has called the Iran deal the worst deal ever. He's prone to hyperbole, but if that's the worst deal ever, we're getting more out of that deal than we're getting out of what we now know about the North Korean deal. So what do we make of that?
Yeah, so, you know, we're at the beginning of that process. I think the way the president approaches these deals is, you know, quite honestly, he just doesn't like deals that he didn't negotiate. You know, if you look at NAFTA, if you look at the Iran deal, if you look at TPP, he wants to pull out of all of those deals and then renegotiate them himself. And so from North Korea, it's interesting, Steve, because, you know, essentially he had a free hand because we didn't have a deal. So from his perspective, I think any deal that he makes is inherently going to be a better one. Now, there's some language in the document that was signed that, you know, if you do diplomacy, you get really worried about. You know, to most of us, common sense says that if you agree to complete denuclearization, it means, okay, you have no nukes. But they left out two words that the U.S. has insisted on for years: verifiable and irreversible. You know, now to most of us, we would think, well, you know, you got to be able to verify it. And if you denuclearize, you don't want to go back. You don't want them to go back. But the diplomats are worried that, you know, by leaving out these terms, Trump and his team are giving the North Koreans wiggle room. So your question, I think, is a very right one, which is, what type of deal do they envision? Do they envision something that is absolutely ironclad and rock solid? Or is it going to be something where, look, we're just going to get the deal that we can get, and then we'll figure out later if it's going to hold or not. So this is the beginning of their process. I don't think this will be done necessarily in the Trump's, you know, well, certainly the first term. I mean, you know, we have been negotiating with the North Koreans for 25 years. So the idea that suddenly this is the magic key, I think, is something that we should be wary of. But this will be, you know, go back to your question. This will really be the first, I think, great test of the Trump diplomatic strategy, which is that he's not repairing a deal. He's not abrogating and then renegotiating a deal. This will be his first own deal.
Back on, you know, on the piggybacking on the Iran deal, there's critics will say, well, we can't trust the North Koreans to hold up their end of the bargain. But for countries in Asia, including North Korea and China, why would they trust the United States?
Yeah, that, you know, that's the new dynamic, obviously, that's been introduced by the administration. Again, I would think that the argument the administration would make is that, again, you know, this is our deal, so we're not going to break our deal. If you're the president, you're saying, I'm going to break Obama's deals. Maybe even, you know, you go back, I'm going to break Bill Clinton's deals, right? NAFTA was a Bill Clinton deal going back, you know, 25 years now. So I think that the logic there, and I wouldn't underestimate allies and other countries around the world. I think they understand, you know, the president's approach and psychology. I think they, you know, we here, because it's, you know, it's a democratic system and we're thinking, how do we want to hold him accountable? You know, they don't have to worry about that type of stuff. So they're just thinking, all right, are the Americans really willing to play or not? And I think that the feeling they probably have is that they can get a pretty good deal overall from Donald Trump. But if it's his deal, he's not going to back out of it.
It's a great point. But so much of this involves ego on both sides. For this to be more than a photo op, it has to turn into verifiable and permanent, as you talked about. And again, that could take years and years and years and years. So we all need to stop thinking of it in terms of a 24-hour news cycle, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, I think where we should really be worried is if it looks like they're just barreling pell-mell towards a deal to be done by December. I mean, this is extraordinarily complex. I mean, you know, the number of North Korean missiles and nuclear weapons, where they're hidden, how they're going to dispose of them, how far the North Koreans go, and then, of course, what the U.S. is going to have to give up something. And, in fact, you heard the president and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, talk about security guarantees. And when he was asked in the press conference, Trump said, well, I'm not going to talk about the security guarantees. The security guarantee is pretty simple, which is we're not going to attack North Korea unless they do something stupid like attack South Korea or attack Japan. I mean, we're taking off the table, the way that Barack Obama did, the idea that we would unilaterally or preemptively or preventively try to take this regime out. So there's going to be promises that the U.S. makes on this. And the question is, are we ultimately giving up enough that we're going to get the thing that we care about, which is that we don't want nuclear weapons to threaten our homeland, and then we also hopefully don't want nuclear weapons to threaten our ally. And then I just make one more quick point, Steve, sure, which is that they talked about the complete denuclearization of the peninsula. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean just North Korea. It means that the U.S. would no longer give a nuclear security guarantee to South Korea. That's what the complete denuclearization of the entire peninsula means.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens.
That's a whole different set of questions about how you then maintain credibility with your allies, and not just South Korea, but Japan and NATO. To make it just even a little bit more complex, quite honestly, the current government in South Korea, the Seoul government today, would welcome that because it's a very left-leaning government. They would like to be closer not only to North Korea but to China. The president and his advisors have talked about how you reduce dependence on the United States, at least in the long run. But you have to also be thinking about your other allies. This is incredibly complex. You know, the language is important, but the promises you give, and you have to think beyond just the Korean Peninsula. What does this mean around the world? And look, it could be the right deal, but you have to do it very, very methodically. So if we see them rushing towards it, that's when I think we should get worried.
And you also don't want to have a Saddam Hussein-like mess up like we had there, which, of course, led to all the awfulness in the early part of the 2000s that we're still dealing with.
Well, for sure. I mean, right. The big thing was Libya. You know, when John Bolton said, we want a Libya solution, well, the North Koreans heard was Libya means a dead dictator in the street, right? They don't want that.
Michael Oslin, you're great as always to do this, and the information is invaluable. Thank you for coming on.
Anytime, Steve.
And we're coming back with the 9 o'clock hour. We're actually into it now. You know what that is? Those are cameras. You know where those cameras go? Directly to CLTV. Wave to our friends at CLTV. Good morning, Fawn. Good morning, everybody over there. And we're coming back with Elise Glink. We're coming back with a raccoon live from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area update.
Do we have the raccoon?
We may. We may. We're talking to a local radio superstar there. He may have direct contact with the raccoon. We're hoping.
U.S. Open picks.
And U.S. Open picks still to come. All next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our street.
It is 9:15, and we continue with Elise Glink. Oh, by the way, congratulations to Bob from West Chicago. Bob just won a family four-pack of tickets to the White Sox and the A's on Thursday, June 21st, 7:10 p.m. You keep listening for that sounder. Your cue to call in to win seats to the Sox all regular season long. Does not include the playoffs or World Series.
Love it.
No, I mean, you know,
not
immediately. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that right now.
Also want to say hi and thank you to the great Emil Esposito. If you're looking for something to do, listen, you want something for dad, if your dad's a golfer for Father's Day, get him a lesson from Emil. Emil Esposito, or as I like to call him, Dave Ennett's golf coach.
Can I make a quick confession?
1 second before your confession, because we have to get into the confession booth. What are you going to say about Emil?
I was just going to say he's a game changer. He's changed my game.
He is.
You know that, Steve. You've seen me play.
And he is the best teacher I have ever seen. Emil Esposito. Joe was talking to me earlier. He said, how has he impacted foot golf? Not at all, which is one of the reasons that he's as popular as he is. All right, what's your confession?
I know this will probably get me kicked off the show,
Nope.
But I have never golfed in my life.
You told me that a long time ago. I knew that, and yet I don't hold that against you.
I am so happy about this.
I mean, I should hold it against you, but I don't.
Well, this could be the start.
This could be. Or I can go with Mary and I can just go anti-golf.
Or
you guys
can
be the golf guys, and we can be the anti-golf. Yeah. I've mini-golfed. I'm
or foot
good.
Golf. Yeah.
I have not foot golfed. I will.
What about just putting? We could just putt.
That's not golf.
You guys go to the big range.
That's like we're going to play baseball. What if we just run to first?
I still use a golf cart for mini golf. That's how bad.
You used to play a lot.
I used to play a lot. And I promise I will play next year.
Yes. As soon as you get your other knee put in.
Yeah.
By the way, Emil Esposito, 847-764-4653. Call. Book a lesson for dad, grandpa, mom.
Or me.
Mom or Dave?
Sponsor Dave.
847-764-4653. I hope that's the right number I just gave out.
If not, call us. We'll find him.
And thanks also to the Glen Club. Great facility, as always. Sponsored by Grandview Homes. My friend Elise Glink is standing by. Let me go there now. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
Things are good. How about you?
We're good. Thanks for calling. Say hi to, let's see, we got John here, we got Dave here, we got Justin here, we got Pete and Mary and Joe and Mary Vandeveld and Steve Grzanich.
Hi.
Hi, crowd. Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
Elise.
Jay-Z called me and said you need a smaller posse. Mm. I'm looking at the real estate section from Sunday's Chicago Tribune. A blaring headline made me think of you. Chicago ranks number one in underwater homes.
Yeah, we're still we've still got a hangover from the Great Recession 10 years ago, and people in Chicago aren't happy about it.
Well, not happy about it is one thing. What about the impact on the economy?
Well, it's troubling in a number of ways, right? So when people are underwater with their mortgage, meaning that they owe more than the house is worth, they tend not to sell because who wants to come with a pile of cash to a closing? Right? Or you have to do a short sale, and lenders don't like to approve that. And so people tend to hold on to their homes. And it just is a downward spiral. So you have fewer homes in the market, which means that homes aren't appreciating faster and people aren't coming in. And I should point out that that story, which is right, it's using the Zillow numbers that came out in their latest forecast. It points out that the vast majority of these underwater homes are still in the south and southwest sides. They're neighborhoods that don't, you know, they're not the prime neighborhoods in Chicago, and they've been struggling with education issues and transportation issues and food desert issues and job issues. And so, you know, but that doesn't mean that the rest of us aren't struggling as well. And we've talked on the show a lot about how the North Shore has been struggling. And I think you're seeing pockets of that all over the area.
Justin Kaufman's here. Do you own your place?
I do, yeah.
And are you going to be in it a while?
Would
you
I think so. I think the goal would be to be in at least 10, 15 years. But, you know, being someone who has bought and sold real estate, at least, you know, it is interesting because there have been ebbs and flows in this market. And we've seen some times, I know, from having a condo that was underwater to being able to sell it lightning quick when things seem to be turning around. With the talk about the rates increasing, with the talk about the different tax things that are happening with the reforms. What is Chicago like when it comes to the overall health of its real estate market?
You know, I think we're all struggling a little bit. And part of it is we've gotten a really bad rap nationally when we are really one of my very favorite cities in the whole. Even if I didn't live here for my whole life and built several businesses here, this would still be one of my favorite cities. I mean, well, Chicago's got a million things going for it.
This is what drives me crazy with the national press that continues to come up about Chicago, that it's the, you know, it's the old West. You walk down Michigan Avenue, you got to dodge bullets. This city, do you ever run across people who come to Chicago and go, oh, I had a terrible time, I'll never go back there?
Right.
Everybody loves it when they come here.
Yeah, it's a great city. I mean, great sports and great music, and we're just, I mean, if the fog would ever really lift for good, we'd have a great summer. You know, it's a wonderful place to be, and I've traveled around this country a lot for my work looking at different real estate markets. In fact, today I'm in Las Vegas, which is a really crazy real estate market. But, you know, Chicago's got the best of all things. But what Chicago doesn't have right now is a whole lot of buzz and excitement. And I think some things are changing, will change that. So the story noted that on the south side, you've got the Obama Library coming in, that this huge development, and that prices are starting to firm up and actually move ahead quite a bit. Overall, the city saw a 5.5% increase in prices, which means that in some neighborhoods, we're seeing prices move ahead a lot faster. And it's just going to take time to work our way out of these underwater homes. But it would be really helpful if Amazon came to town.
Yeah, and at this point, we believe we're still in the running, though it does seem like we're not the fave.
Yeah, well, who knows? We won't know till it's over.
Right. Yeah, no, I was still in the running. That's all you want?
Right.
Still in the running.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier, too, about in another conversation about doing the right thing, even if you're not selling your house now. We need more houses, for one thing. But staging your home is a big deal. What does that mean in particular?
It's so funny. You know, 20 years ago when staging started to happen, people said, what does that mean? And I said, it means you take all of your stuff out of your house and you bring in, like, the bare minimum of matchy-matchy stuff. Paint the walls neutral and have it look like a TV set for an HGTV show. And that's the essence of staging. I have a couple of staging videos on my YouTube channel. They have like 80,000 views. People.
80,000?
Yeah, did you know that I have a YouTube channel that has a million views?
Yeah, no, I knew that. Well, you're very popular, but 80,000 views for staging.
The best thing that's ever happened to the real estate industry is the wide-angle lens. Have you seen the staging for the pictures?
Yeah.
So everything looks like it's so expansive, like it's a 36,000-square-foot kitchen. And then you get in here and like, that doesn't look like the picture.
It's shot by the same people that do profile pictures for Match.com.
Well, yeah, and I always crack up because they will take the photo, and you have to look at it from different angles because the end table looks like a coffee table in one, and the other one, it just looks like a very thin table. So it's very deceptive.
It's all angles.
Yes.
My favorite is when they show the picture of the lake view, and then you get there, and to see the lake view, you have to stick your head out the window and look left, and then you kind of see a little speck in between. That's my favorite shot.
If you go to thinklink.com, you're going to be smarter. You're going to know more about this stuff.
Lake.
and you're going to feel better about all things related to your personal finance. What are you featuring on the page now that you're drawing people to?
Today we've been talking this week actually about the economy, and what I'll be talking about today on the site is this National Association of Real Estate Editors meeting that I'm here for, the Disruptors Open Door, which is disrupting the way that homes are bought and sold in several markets, just raised $325 million. They announced it this morning.
Wow. There you go. Title of the latest book is what?
100 questions every first-time homebuyer should ask. Go out and buy a house today.
And you didn't go with my idea. I suggested she titled the book Harry Potter's 100 Questions Every Homebuyer.
I know. It was a really good idea. I should have done it.
Yeah, I was thinking. ThinkGlink.com. Enjoy the day.
Thanks. You too.
See you later. We have ace reporter, journalist finest. A Pulitzer winner. Is it a Pulitzer?
No, it's a James Beard Award, but I'll take it.
No, not you. The guy coming up on the phone from Minneapolis.
The Pulitzer. No, Greg won the Pulitzer.
Greg Thunder from Cities 97 in Minneapolis with a raccoon on a building update coming up. Stand by for that.
Come get it, babe. Hey. Come get it, babe. Hey.
Take any Pharrell record, and if it gets stuck and starts skipping, kids, that's when we had vinyl records, it'd be all good. Greg Thunder is from Cities 97 in Minneapolis, St. Paul, one of the greatest cities in the world, and a place I lived for many years. Greg.
Hi, Steve. I've never danced to WGN before. That was amazing. I love that.
Remember our slogan, much more talk, much less music. all right. So a raccoon scales up the side of a building in your town. What building?
See, this is the UBS Plaza building, and I've never heard of it before. It's in St. Paul, and it's downtown. If you've ever been to St. Paul, it's a lovely downtown, and we are known for having wildlife get into our metropolitan areas here in the Twin Cities, deer, coyotes, honey badgers, and the such, muskrats. And of course, you and I, of course, I know we have our love of golf, but we really were united over our agreement of the Captain and Tennille song, Muskrat Love. So I know this story speaks to you.
I, of course, played the muskrat. All right, so but what do we know now, Greg? Is the muskrat okay? Or is the muskrat, is the raccoon okay?
Yeah, the raccoon. So last night when people went to bed, it had gotten up about 20 stories, and it found its place in a windowsill. And this is a building it could crawl up. It's made of concrete, like an aggregate, like on a driveway, and it was able to attach itself to the side of the building and crawl up, and everybody was very concerned. People were Facebooking live. People were going to bed not knowing.
Well, here's the thing. People need to understand. It's for raccoons that might be listening now. It's a porous concrete, you know, pockmarked of sort. So if you have little paw things with little horny things coming out of your paw thing, wow, this whole conversation sounds
wrong. It's getting weird.
Hugh Muskrat
love again.
No, tell me more about the porous concrete.
Steve. Aggregate. Yeah. So the raccoon went on the move about 2 a.m., and it got to a corner of the building where it could kind of get its paws on both sides, and then got its way easily to the top where then wildlife officials had been waiting for it with a trap, a delicious, and I'm reading here, a delicious meal of soft cat food, which, Steve, is pretty much our diet now at our age.
No question, because you can gum it. Now, when the raccoon got to the top, Justin, you brought this up earlier. You were picturing a SWAT team, like when a St. Paul SWAT team.
You know, the reports came in, Greg, saying that the raccoon was trapped, and I thought that could mean a lot of different things.
Yes. It got to the top. I don't know if anybody was up there waiting for it. They put a trap up there, and it went in, ate the soft cat food, and it's been trapped, and it'll be, I guess, released into the wild.
I was thinking snipers, roof snipers.
Snipers.
You know,
sure. Like take them out.
Yeah.
I got the shot.
Take the shot.
Yeah.
St. Paul. We don't
wait till he takes his mask off.
There's a very tall There's a very tall building in Minneapolis called the IDS Center, which, as far as I know, is still there. And I remember, Greg, you'll remember this, in 1991, 92, a moose scaled the side of the IDS Center.
That's a true story, Steve. You can find that on the internet. That is absolutely true. A moose got all the way to the top.
That was the IBS building, though.
No, the IBS building was nearby and almost never inhabited. All right, well, listen, if the raccoon's okay, we're okay. I just feel better about talking to you because you're there. Now, is there a chance that in the morning on Cities 97 that you will get an exclusive interview with the raccoon?
We are hoping, Steve. We've got our producers on it, and we hope to have that tomorrow. Our show is finished for the morning. I don't know how late you have to go there on GN. But,
well, 1:32 now, yeah.
Right, the way your show is going, right.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to figure all this out. All right, buddy, thank you for the information.
Thank you so much. No, absolutely, raccoon's okay.
All right, will you do your big Pulitzer Prize winning close, like from wherever you are and you're listening to? Can you give me that?
Sure. This is Greg Thunder, live at UBS Plaza. Raccoon's okay on WGN 720 News Talk.
Well played. Well played. Texters continuing to chime in. What starts a fight at your house? What did you say?
I said relax.
Relax is bad. Yeah, when we come back, we have a few more of these to get to. We also have U.S. Open picks, and we have to apologize for Rokan because I forgot it was his birthday. And let me tell you, the guy's an egomaniac. He'd been pouting for a week. Oh, we're on? That's next, 720 WGN. Live from his Tommy John underpants, here is Ro Khan. Good morning, Ro.
It's no scratch, no sniff. Wait, what do they say about the Tommy Johns? There's no pinching here.
There's no pinching.
It's
plus,
the Duluth one.
Yeah, plus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah.
I like the Tommy John. You wear the Tommy John? I like the Tommy John.
I don't actually wear the Tommy. I'm still a Hanes guy. I just, you know what? I'm a Target guy. I walk into Target. I go, what you got? I go, just make sure it's soft. And it's caressing, and then I'm good to go.
Let's all pause now and picture Roe in its tidy whiteies right before he gets dressed to go.
I thought it was much more Italian. I thought there was an Italian vibe to Roe's.
I don't believe that he goes to Target for his undergarments.
I do.
He's a Rush Street guy.
Have you ever worn the Tommy John? We're not getting any money for this, by the way.
No, I haven't. But
they're great. They're great.
I'm interested.
I have 900 pair.
Really?
I like folding them because I do the laundry in my house.
And they got the little pouch. They got the little...
Well, I don't touch the pouch.
But as opposed to the fly, the side fly, they have the horizontal fly. I save hours a week.
Are you required to wear them if you have Tommy John surgery?
Yes. That's the only way you can recover.
That's what that means.
Bro, the text question
today... I'm getting Tommy John now.
Yeah, get them right now. Order while we're talking.
Yep.
The text question of the day is, what starts a fight in your house? 708, when the UPS driver drops off packages for the sixth time this week and I forgot to hide them.
Mm-hmm.
708, I get mad every time my husband leaves an empty toilet paper roll on the dispenser or two squares on the roll.
Oh.
708, anything with instructions that begin with some assembly required. 415, not putting the strainer back in the sink. 708, three open gallons of milk in the refrigerator. 224, empty Brita water pitchers put back without being refilled. 312, guaranteed fight at home. If you started getting ready 30 minutes earlier, we wouldn't always be late.
815 is a new one. Who ate my restaurant leftovers?
And 847, I'm listening to you guys getting mad at my husband. He does all of it! Text question of the day. So, how you doing?
I couldn't be better. I'm so relieved. I'm so happy today. I woke up. I found out that Iran is acting better and Korea is no longer a nuclear threat.
Yep.
And I am, and it's sunny outside. The sun's been out there for the first time in 5 days. And I'm scared poopless.
That's something I didn't expect to hear. Zippity doodah, zippity day. Donald Trump's still our president. Yay. Huh? I just read that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we have. I just did see. I know. I don't want to. I'm just going through the stuff we're going to be doing today on the show. And And Mark Sanford, who already kind of is a wacky dude, right? I mean, Mark Sanford
is the guy who tried to run away with Miss Argentina.
Yes, and he was supposed to be he was walking the Appalachian Trail. Mm-hmm. Which you always have to worry about, because that's like if someone's walking the Appalachian Trail, something has happened in their life, right? They're in the middle of like, you know, the worst part of their addiction, or they're
tax objectors,
right? If they've run away from their family, or something has gone on, and then it turns out he was in South America and, you know, dating some woman while he was still married to his wife. Okay, fine. So he runs into a problem there, has to resign as governor of Virginia, and then, you know, blah 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 blah. Years later, runs for the Senate. And then he goes after Trump, and all the headlines today are that, you know, anti-Trump Republican creamed so you can't be. So everybody's afraid. And then yesterday, you had Bob Corker, Lil Bob Corker, L-I-L, mm-hmm. Bob Corker on the Senate floor saying, listen, why everybody's afraid to poke the bear. We can't disagree with him. What has come to America? And then in the meantime, my Tommy Johns aren't fitting.
Right, your Tommy Johns are riding up on you, and they're not supposed to do that.
Right.
Listen, all of these concerns could be alleviated after 3 o'clock today.
Oh, like they could be.
Yeah.
They won't be, but they could be.
Or he could make it much worse, the 3 to 4 o'clock hour with Anna and Roe and CLTV, and that's 3 to 7 in general. Your friend Kevin Powell came in here. I remember when he worked for me before you stole him, you traitor.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now that we covered that.
Yeah, I just agree with it. Yes, I did. He was one of my best. He and Anna are my two best deals of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone, mm-hmm. You know, that's just how that goes.
I hesitate to ask you this, but we're out of mm-hmm. time already. And here's my question.
Yeah.
And you can pick any of your wives. What starts a fight in your house?
It's leaving. I think it's leaving stuff out is probably the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
I have a current situation when I get out of the car, and then somebody else doesn't get out of the car. You know, there's still like, you know, I park somewhere, and we get out. I get out. I'm on my way. I'm in the parking lot. I'm on the way to Target. I'm sorry, Mary. I go to Target, and then the other person doesn't get out of the car until already the security's kicked in, and then the alarm goes off because for some reason they have to stay in the car. I don't know what they're doing. They're organizing something. Right, they're finishing a crossword. I don't know.
Right. Okay. Well,
is this other person a man? Because I feel in my relationship.
Well, no,
this
he's
happens.
Been married to women before.
Well, I know, but this my husband does not have a purse. But I get out of the car quicker than he does, and it's because he's assembling all these items that if he just had a purse to put them in.
Oh, yeah. Please,
he wouldn't have to assemble them.
You're the only woman on the planet who knows what's in your purse.
Hey, did you have a happy birthday?
I did, yes. Thank you.
I saw you had a show dinner with all of Steve's former employees.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm sorry we forgot your birthday last week.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, Mary, you know, we invited you, and I don't know why you didn't come.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand.
Yeah, well.
You know, but that's okay. Yeah. Well, Justin was there. Justin, you had a good time, right?
Yeah, I wasn't there, but thanks so much.
Yeah,
I love that.
Oh,
were just,
sure.
Yeah, sure.
That's right. You weren't there.
Yeah, there were
okay.
15 people. The Ro doesn't know. It just kind of all blends together.
Ixnay on the air, they.
I've always wanted to be invited to Ro's thing.
But yeah, sure you did. 3 o'clock today. Ro and Anna. Okay. See you, buddy.
Bye.
We're coming back with U.S. Open picks.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I got a foursome at Cantini featuring 27 holes of championship golf with 3 unique golf experiences. Book your tee time at cantinigolf.com or 630-668-8463. Sammy, do I need to give this away right now?
Yes, you do.
Let's go fourth caller, as in four! When the ball comes screaming towards your head. 630-668-8463. Fourth caller wins the foursome at Cantini. You can call now. All right, Sandberg, you ready to tabulate?
I am ready.
Vandeveld
Mary Vandeveld already gave me her picks. Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm, 7-under.
Okay, let's go around the room, starting with you.
Rory, Justin Rose, Patrick Reed, 8-under.
All right. John? Is it Shinnecock Hills, by the way?
Yeah. Emiliano Grijo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hideto Tanahara.
Yep.
And Smiley Kaufman.
Those are all guys playing this weekend.
Right. Yeah.
And the winning score?
13 under.
Wow.
It's super low.
13 under. That's a record.
That's crazy low. Dave.
Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, 5 under.
Okay. All right. Justin Kaufman knows Phil nothing Mickelson. About golf and hates it.
Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson's father.
I like that. So that's one. Who was the tubby guy who won the Masters?
Reed.
That'd be Patrick Reed. Patrick the tubby Reed. Guy that won the Masters.
Patrick
yes.
Reed. And then Yvonne Lendl.
Yvonne Lendl.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And I say 6 under.
6 under is your winning score. All right. And Super Joe.
Super Joe, yeah.
Super Joe's on the phone right now. Super Joe's
he's getting the winner. For
he's
them.
Talking to a winner. So we'll get Super Joe's picks off
here.
We'll get my mom's picks off here. Bill, you want in on this, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. Bill doesn't know a lot about golf. He's more of a tennis guy.
Is Domati going to do Steve Grzanich picks?
Domati is... he's saying I'm number one. Bill, what are your picks?
J.C. Sneed.
J.C. Sneed is solid.
Tom Kite.
Tom Kite.
RoboCop.
And RoboCop.
18 under.
Again, we'll get my mom's picks, Super Joe's picks, and here's mine. Jason Day.
Whoa, okay, Day.
Ricky Fowler. Tiger Woods.
Yeah, ooh, wow. I'm out of the ashes. Yeah.
Winning score, 3 under par.
Ooh. Ricky Fowler, that sounds like a NASCAR driver.
He just three. Got engaged.
Sound like a under golfer.
Wait, he three. Did the cutest thing. He got engaged three. On three. Best Friend's Day to three. Allison, his fiance.
3 under par. Let's focus on my winning score. Okay. 3 under par.
He did? Was it on the golf course?
No, it was on the beach.
I just think you're just so special to me.
Texter 847.
So that's what I think Ricky Fowler sounds.
Sound
he doesn't
way.
Sound like that?
No.
That's what it sounds like. Ricky Fowler would sound like. I just think you're just amazing to me.
Wow, when you do impressions, it's like you're almost there.
It's like you just beach is so pretty, and you're so pretty.
847. Yeah, keep doing it. It's definitely getting better. 847. Good morning, Steve. Happy Father's Day to you and your son. Wasn't that nice?
Oh,
very nice.
That is
nice. Russ is going to guest DJ on Friday. He's going to hang around with us on the Father's Day weekend.
Oh.
Until Roach steals him for his show. Yeah, so stand by for that. 10 o'clock, Bill and Wendy. Right now, quick break in there, and then we'll come back.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Dean Richards is here doing a TV story coming up here in a little bit about the fact that the Tribune Tower was stolen, and we don't know if we can get it back. It's going to be a great movie.
And I'm not leaving.
I'm telling you right now, if a bomb went off in this room with you and Bill and me and Justin,
Dave, you guys would use me as a human
Dean,
shield, I know.
It would be the greatest news for Steve Dale and Pete McMurray ever. Am I right or am I right? You know, I'm right.
You just gave Pete McMurray something to do today now.
Wire the studio.
Yep.
What are you guys doing today?
We have some Gordon Lightfoot tickets to give away. We're going to talk to...
Legend on from the
don't,
Chippewa.
Wendy,
don't.
I know.
I would have warned
I've,
you.
I know. Lake, it's kind of fun. Put a quarter in them and let them roll. And we're going to talk about... Seriously, our show psychologist is going to come in. We're going to talk about suicide.
Well, that's
important.
It
needs to be talked about.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. See you tomorrow.